This is the Ion Football Podcast with Will Brinson and Ryan Wilson.
Round one NFL draft is in the books. It is 12:30 in the morning. And you know what the biggest problem I have going on right now, Ryan? This is the Ion Football Podcast, Will Brinson, Ryan Wilson. Pete Prisco is creeping in here trying to come in. I have a tea time at 7 a.m. with Pete Prisco, and he's concerned that we won't be able to make it. I will pick you up at the Marriott tomorrow morning, Pete. I'll pick you up. I'll call you in the morning. All right. Sounds good. See, that's how we do it live here on the Ion Football Podcast, talking about golf with Pete Prisco. Do you think that I should skip this tea time or go to this tea time?
Well, I appreciate the fact that you told everyone that you are going to pick Pete up at the Marriott so people can call the Marriott and get Pete a wake-up call for you.
I will actually pay people to do that. By the way, I mean, like, it is, it's truly a blessing. Hashtag blessed that I get to play golf with Pete Prisco in the morning. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Have you played with him before?
I've never played with him before. We've talked about golf a lot. I'm very excited. My golf game is struggling, but that's okay.
I bet you'll
anyway,
beat him.
I think so too. I feel like I'll young man strength him and beat him. Anyway, on to the 2015 Dad bod. Dad bod is the hotness. I've been trendsetting since 99, being fat and stuff. To the 2015 NFL draft, it was a boring first round. Am I crazy? I feel like it was lame as hell.
I think what the problem is, and Aaron Rodgers tweeted this out pretty early in the evening, that basically nobody knows what they're talking about. A bunch of media yapping heads, and they get everything wrong. Of course, he sat in the green room for 8 hours in 2005, so he's probably still a little bitter. By the way, he might be more bitter than I am, and that dude has a Super Bowl ring. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Oh, and by the way, he's dating Olivia Munn. Settle down there.
Well, that's why he's got that chip on his shoulder. That's being bitter helps him. I don't even really know what Aaron Rodgers was complaining about specifically, but I think my whole thing with, first of all, there were just two trades in the first round that made things boring. In the hour leading up to the draft was way more exciting than the entirety of the draft, because there's discussion about what the Eagles going to make moves. And Chip Kelly did, in fact, I think afterwards say that he called the Titans and called the Buccaneers and talked about trading picks, but never offered players.
Right. He said that the reports that all the litany of players that are listed by several media outlets
were false. Yeah. I mean, we don't need to. I mean, it was pretty crazy. Like, everyone on the Eagles roster, and including Chip Kelly, were listed as potential trade partners. Not Tim Tebow, that's right. But then things kind of went as planned. If you just went through and did a stock need draft, you got the first four picks right, because Jameis Winston makes sense at one. Marcus Mariota makes sense at two. Dante Fowler was the best edge rusher available for the Jaguars. And then Amari Cooper makes sense to give Derek Carr and the Raiders a weapon. Anything in those four picks stand out to you except for the fact that it was the Titans who ultimately took Mariota?
No, and I think you're right. It was boring in that sense. I was sort of glad that the Titans stayed put, because I was seriously tired of all the speculation and basically BS that we've been listening to for the last few months. But you're right about it being boring. I still like the draft, but I think when the most exciting, surprising thing to happen comes to pick number five with the Redskins, when they take J.J. Watt stunt double. That guy looks just like J.J. Watt.
Brandon Scherf, yeah. Out of Iowa. Yeah, I mean, like, but the problem is, if the most exciting thing that happens is the Redskins taking a big, hulking, boring offensive lineman who's probably going to kick into guard or move over to right tackle, you know, that's not enthralling. It's a good pick. Scherf is
a beast.
That's
a smart pick.
But I'll tell you this. I was stunned, and I mean, I think Redskins fans were stunned too,
yep,
that with Kevin White and Leonard Williams in particular on the board, that the Redskins went with Scherf. Because you grab Leonard Williams, and if he's the best player on the board, as everybody says, and he's the best player in the draft, all of a sudden you've got yourself a steal at five. And
you still have RG3, who takes a million hits a game. And if that's who you're tied to for another year, I get it. And I trust Scott McLuhan.
To maybe 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, right. They did pick up his option. So, yeah. I trust Scott McLuhan because he's the first real GM they've had since probably Bobby Bathard.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. They didn't trade up and take someone stupid. I mean, trading down probably would have been okay. But they identified Scherf a long time ago. And credit to them for not letting anyone know about it. Typically, those type of things, especially early in the draft, sort of get out. And they didn't. So hopefully it works out for them, because that beaten down fan base.
Well, the other thing I'll say too, I mean, like, I'm a big, big proponent of best player available. And I think that the Redskins, if they took him over Leonard Williams and over Kevin White, then surely he's the best guy on their board.
Well, but, and we talked about this. I think we did. Pierre Garçon was pretty awesome when he arrived in D.C. He's a GD mess now and has very little to do with Pierre Garçon. So maybe that was part of the thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's quite. So Scherf goes five, Leonard Williams, and then Kevin White, and then Vic Beasley, who I thought were, to be perfectly honest, those three guys might have been my favorite three guys in this entire draft, just in terms of upside and scratching the potential and the things that they could do. They go 6, 7, 8. Williams to the Jets. They now have a plethora of defensive linemen. Muhammad Wilkerson has his contract issues. There's been talks about a trade. Leonard Williams, getting him gives them the option of trading Wilkerson if they want, or they sign Wilkerson, give him his deal, and all of a sudden you're throwing just a filthy, disgusting defensive line at offenses in a division where you have Tom Brady. I'm fine with that. White to the Bears. You're replacing Brandon Marshall without, you know, a guy who doesn't have the issues, who's a lot younger.
He will have the issues after he catches a few short hops from Jay Cutler.
That's true. But it was surprising to see a John Fox team go offense in the first round, but certainly a pick of need and a pick of value.
I think Ryan Pace just tells John Fox to sit in the corner and shut up.
I mean, I think he's like, I hired you. I mean, like, I may be younger, but we're taking Kevin White. He's a stud here. And look, I mean, this, you know, now all of a sudden, even if they trade Martellus Bennett, it's been rumored, you still have Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White. You're stacked at wide receiver for the next like 5 or 6 years. And maybe, you know, maybe you dump Cutler at some point after his, you know, after 2016. And then you can start trying to find another quarterback, but you're kind of in reboot mode there.
Jimbo.
Vic Beasley, I love at,
What are you gonna say about Pete?
Pete gave it a B, and he said Bud Dupree would have been a better choice. I disagree.
I think they're similar players in that they have issues based on what they didn't do in college. Beasley's and Pete talked about this in the last podcast. I'm sure you know this too. I only know it because
there.
No, I mean you. You know, purportedly pay attention to the stuff. I don't really pay attention to the college stuff.
Beasley's not good against
the
run.
Not good against the run. That's right.
No, he's not good at all. But at the same time, Bud Dupree, if you go and look at the Florida game, he didn't do anything. Have you seen it since?
I've seen clips, and early on, I didn't like Bud Dupree a lot, and I thought it was weird. This is before the combine. I thought it was weird that people just started jumping all over his bandwagon, given the fact that he ran, you know, he was a workout warrior. But at 22 for the Steelers, I think he makes sense there. But Beasley at 8, I don't know. But you like him.
I would have taken Beasley top 5. So I'm totally fine with the Falcons getting him there. You're in a division where
much better pick than the Falcons taking Gurley, for example, which had been discussed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're in a division where the Saints have Drew Brees, the Panthers have Cam Newton, and now the Buccaneers have Jameis Winston. You have to have a pass rusher. Beasley is the type of guy that you can put out there in passing situations and just uncork him.
Who was the other pass rusher they signed? Did they sign somebody?
They did make improvements to the defense in free agency.
Would you give up a second round pick if you're Dan Quinn for Bruce Irvin?
Adrian Claiborne.
That's who it was.
He doesn't stay healthy.
Right, he's injury issues. If you were Dan Quinn, formerly of Seattle, now that the Falcons head coach, would you trade a second round pick for Bruce Irvin?
Not if I just got Vic Beasley.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but now you're talking about putting like two dudes who don't really stop the run at all on the field. And I'm just saying, look, Vic Beasley is probably only going to play 60% of the snaps, but you're going to set him loose against the against quarterbacks. And that's all you do.
Alden Smith had 4,000 sacks as rookie season.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, look, if Vic Beasley has 10 sacks, then, I mean, that's what you're fine with it. I mean, so I think Vic Beasley will end up being good. And I think he's playing for a team that fits his needs particularly well.
And they need a defense. You're right. Okay.
They were making flowers. Yeah, there you go. They were making flowers in New York. So we saw, I think the biggest surprise of the first round might have been at 9 and 10. When Ereck Flowers goes to the Giants, there was a ton of hype about him being a top 10 pick, maybe the first lineman off the board, maybe the first tackle off the board if you consider Scherf a guard. And that, you know, he ended up being a top 10 pick. People were right about the hype on Flowers. And then Todd Gurley, who, you know, who predicted that one? Yeah. To the Rams at 10. Yeah.
Good job.
In my mock.
That's ambitious for the Rams. I don't know. I guess
I love the pick.
Oh, God. I mean, okay, give me a player in the league now that he has to be as good as a running back, clearly, that makes him worth the top 10 pick. Because running backs have had a resurgence the last few years.
He's got to be, I mean, he's got to be in the Le'Veon Bell. I mean, he's got to be a top 10 running back next year, but I think he can be. And here's the thing for the Rams is, you know, people are like, well, they need a quarterback and they need a wide receiver. Well, there was no quarterback available. And Kevin White and Amari Cooper were off the board. I think they would have taken one of them if they were there. Instead, you have a situation where you have Nick Foles and you don't have a lot of wide receivers. You have Tavon Austin and Brian Quick. You need to get help. Kenny Britt. You need to get better on offense. Jeff Fisher loves to run the ball. So now you have this great defense that should start out the year better than they started out last year.
Yeah, they have couple, to.
Right, by default. And you couple it with Todd Gurley in an impressive running game, Zach Stacy, Trey Mason, you just keep pounding the rock, and you hope Greg Robinson
Zach Stacy has asked for a trade, by the way.
Oh, that's fine. He can ask for a trade all he wants. He's like a fifth-round pick out of Vanderbilt. Get over it, bro. So, I mean, I like the pick of Gurley. To me, he was the best player available, and that I take him. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. Flowers is a he should plop in. They'll move Justin Pugh inside probably to guard.
Yeah, that's a good move for a couple of reasons. That's right.
Of course, he was their first round pick out of Syracuse last year or 2 years ago.
Yeah, he has little short arms apparently.
That's right. And then Flowers will play. Flowers is a guy that has a ton of get off, gets to the second level very quickly, and is physical in the run game. And I think, especially now that they have Rashad Jennings and Shane Vereen, who are two very good pass catching running backs, I think they'll be using screen games a lot. I mean, those guys could be catching a ton of balls, and Flowers is really good at that. I'm fine with that pick. This is a team that got better on the offensive line, gives Eli Manning some protection, gets better in the run game. They're good. That Giants offense is going to score a lot of points.
Victor Cruz is coming back. Odell Beckham's obviously still there.
Monster.
Our buddy Vinny Iyer from Sporting News tweeted this out pretty late in the first round, but it makes a good point. With all the run and offensive linemen, you sort of wonder where Lael Collins would have ended up if he didn't have his issues with his former girlfriend who was murdered and had the baby, and that he's been questioned and all the other stuff. And Vinny Iyer made the point that three Collinses are supposed to go in the first round. None did. Him.
Jalen and Landon.
His teammate, and then Landon, the safety from Alabama. So that was sort of a twist that not a lot of people saw coming.
Leo Collins would have been a top 15 or 20 pick if he'd been. And, you know, it's interesting because then you go and look at, like, a pick where the Panthers end up getting Shaq Thompson at 25. I caught some flack because I said that I think, look, this is the best player on Dave Gettleman's board.
I was going to say, do you follow the BPA model given the Shaq Thompson acquisition?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
What was it? 20 what?
25. They said the two guys they were talking about at 25 were DJ Humphries and Shaq Thompson. Humphries goes to the Cardinals at 24. And so they very quickly said, you know what, we're not going to mess around. Shaq Thompson's our guy. We're going to get him. They can play three linebackers. You're going to have Thomas Davis, Luke Kuechly, and Shaq Thompson on the field. With their defensive line and those linebackers, the secondary, again, it's a trickle-down effect. It'll be very good. I'm fine with it. If that was the best player, do it. Because so many times we say, like last year with the Titans, and I'm not saying the Titans did do smart things, but last year with the Titans, how can you take Taylor Lewan here? That's crazy. But then all of a sudden, Michael Orr and Michael Roos are both gone, and you have to have Taylor Lewan. So
I like, by the way, I love the Shaq Thompson trade. The pick as soon as it happened. And he is Thomas Davis without the knee injuries, and he's you know, 10 years younger or whatever. So, I mean, and most importantly, defensive coordinator, whose name I can't remember. What's his name?
Sean McDermott.
I went to college with him.
That's right. That's right.
Which is the most important part.
Have we little dipping into the yellowtail during the draft this evening?
Oh, huh? God, you're not even kidding. But I think it's more Alzheimer's. But yes, the yellowtail is helping. Fine.
What did you think about the Broncos playing in a state where marijuana is legal, trading up to get Shane Ray? They leapt all the way up to 23, swapped with the Lions, and got Shane Ray, a pass rusher. And they dealt Manny Ramirez, a guard or an offensive lineman, in the process.
To the Lions, and the Lions drafted another guard. Who'd they get? They got
Laken Tomlinson. Right. Duke. I really like what the Lions did. Yeah, because I agree. So they get Ramirez, they got Laken Tomlinson, Riley Reif.
And who's the Wolford they already
had? Larry Warford. Have all of a sudden they've got this stacked offensive line that's going to protect Matthew Stafford and block really well for Joik Bell and Theo Riddick. I like what the Lions did here in terms of really invigorating their offensive line. So
I don't understand why. Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with that about the Lions. I'm not sure why the Broncos felt the need to trade it for Shane Ray.
I think they thought that the Cardinals were going to take Shane Ray there.
But I mean, I don't know. Look, he was supposed to be a top 10 pick before whatever happened. I think the toe injury had more to do with where he fell in the draft than
the weed,
caught with the weed on Monday. And I think it's hilarious that somebody asked him at the press conference whether pot being legal in Colorado would be a problem for him.
I feel like that's a totally okay question.
He should have been laughing when he answered it. I really am sad that he didn't go to the Browns and Josh Gordon didn't get a chance to introduce him, though.
The Browns instead drafted Danny Shelton and Cameron Irving.
I like those picks. Boring as hell, but good picks.
They're boring as hell, but good picks. Danny Shelton will do a lot for their run defense. Cameron Irving.
That's sort of a weird pick because they could have used a pass catcher, but I mean,
yeah.
Mack's probably going to leave. Alex Mack, he can leave.
And Irving can play. He started out at tackle for Florida State last year, moved over to center, can play guard as well. So you have a versatile piece that you can kind of bounce around. Maybe you even stick him at, you know, on the right side at tackle. And then if Mack leaves, you make him your new center. I mean, I think it gives you a lot of pieces. Maybe even call somebody about an Alex Mack trade. So I'm fine with what the Browns did. It's entirely it is the draft pick version of a Brown helmet. All it is. It's just
new or old, it doesn't matter. But the sad thing is that they've had two first round picks forever. This is probably going to be the best one. Brandon Weeden and Trent Richardson, clearly terrible. Last year was Johnny Football.
So that's 2012. 14, they had
Johnny
two.
Football. And what's his name? What's the cornerback name?
Justin Gilbert. So they're going to come out of issues. They're going to have six first round picks in 3 years.
With two players to show for it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's an exaggeration. We'll have to see what football does.
Those two players they just drafted tonight. They could be terrible. I mean, like, you never know.
That's true.
I like Danny Shelton. I think he'll be a good.
Their run defense was god awful, and he does nothing but help that. So
that's right. And when Alex Mack went down, their winning season collapsed because they had no run game. So Cameron Irving helps you there. I thought that the Eagles, I'm really mad at myself because originally when I did that stupid trade where I had the Cowboys trading up for Melvin Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to have the 49ers taking Eric Armstead and had the Eagles taking Nelson Aguilar. And I bailed on it and gave the Eagles Eric Armstead. It was 2 a.m. I was being stupid, but Aguilar, I thought, was a really good pick for the Eagles at 20 because to me, Sam Bradford is a huge winner. The number one winner out of the first round, because not only did Chip Kelly not acquire Marcus Mariota, meaning Sam Bradford is definitely the starter, and Tennessee has said they're not trading him, despite, I'm sure we'll hear rumors all offseason. So you have Sam Bradford is definitely the starter. He's got a good offensive line. Now he has weapons in terms of, Riley Cooper is no longer the two. You have Jordan Matthews and Nelson Aguilar, two good guys who are great at precise route running, smart wide receivers, will pick up yards after the catch, will work in Chip Kelly's system. Aguilar is the best route runner outside of Amari Cooper.
Great blocker, too.
Exactly. And so the Eagles offense is going to be fine. Even if Sam Bradford gets hurt, you have your boy Sanchez who can play. I like that pick of Aguilar there at 20.
Yeah, no, he drew a lot of comparisons. I was watching the NFL Network guys, and I think it was Mayock who compared him very favorably, based largely on measurables, but also on what he does on the field, to Jeremy Maclin, just because they just lost to Kansas City. So that's not a bad replacement. It's cheaper because Kansas City paid Maclin way too much money.
What did you think about the Cowboys going with Byron Jones? That feels like a Jerry Jones pick.
You think it feels like a Jerry Jones pick? It feels like a Steven Jones pick.
No, I mean, I guess you're higher on Byron Jones.
Jerry Jones' pick is trading up for Mo Claiborne, and he becomes terrible immediately.
Yeah, I just feel like it's like the guy blows up at the combine. It feels like an outrage.
Oh, right, yeah. No, that is a Jerry Jones pick.
Yeah,
but the joke's on Jerry because Byron Jones is actually a pretty good player, and he has been for a while. Just no one on earth watches UConn football, and for good reason. And he got hurt this year, only played a few games. He had a shoulder injury. But I think he's going to be good. He's going to be a really good player. He's, spotless off the field, so that's one less thing you have to worry about.
Sure.
And he's big, he's fast, and, that defense is terrible, so he should be able to help pretty quickly. And also, Mo Claiborne is going to be gone. They're not going to pick up his option, so he'll be gone after next year. And they probably don't love Brandon Carr. That's probably another indication of what that means. I like Brandon Jones there. It's late in the first round, so it's not a terrible – it's not a reach by any means. And, the trade
– a little surprised they didn't go with somebody like Malcolm Brown, who the Patriots took at 32. Big body, local kid you can plug in the middle. But look, like Jones is a guy people who flew up the draft boards after his combine workout. If he turns out to be a stud, it's a great pick. And I'll give Cowboys all due credit; they've been killing it in the past few years.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah. They've been very smart. And again, I don't think we should probably give Jerry Jones credit, but Stephen Jones or whoever works in that scouting department. But whoever's responsible for it is working out. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens with old Byron.
Interesting pair of picks for the Saints. I mean, Andres Pete at 13. You have to assume he's going to kick over to the right side. I think that they probably wanted Ereck Flowers at 13, and the Giants stepped in and grabbed him, or hoped that Brandon Scherff would fall that far. Clearly that wasn't going to happen. But
Sean Payton said they were going to take, if Pete went previously to the Browns, for example, they were going to take Danny Shelton.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense too. I mean, I think I really think the Saints were looking at a situation where with 13 and 31, they wanted to come out of here with a player who could improve the run defense, either in the trenches or, you know, they ended up going with Stephon Anthony, the linebacker out of Clemson, probably the most surprising pick in the first
easily,
round.
I think, right? Is there even a close second?
No. Yeah. I mean, maybe Demaryius Randall.
We've sort of heard about him in the last few days.
When we created our list, there was no. We just egged and did. We created a list of guys we were going to write, like assign writing assignments for CBS. We didn't have Lakin Tomlinson on there somehow.
I was sort of surprised by that. But Stephon Anthony, I didn't know who the hell that was.
Yeah. I wasn't surprised by Lakin Tomlinson going in the first round. I was surprised that we forgot to add his name because he was in a lot of mocks late. Stephon Anthony, I was surprised. Everybody was surprised by that pick. Good for the Saints that they like him, but you feel like you've got, he really wasn't going to be there 13 picks into the second round. I kind of feel like you could have snagged him later and gotten another player here.
I bet this is a Rob Ryan pick, and Sean Payton let him do that just so he could fire him like midway through the season.
I just feel like they could have gotten why not go, like, if you wanted Danny Shelton, go with Malcolm Brown there and you get your defensive tackle. I like the fact that they got an offensive lineman, because now you have this upgraded offensive line that'll protect Drew Brees and also be able to, you know, work in the run game, which I think they're really going to focus on with Mark Ingram and CJ Spiller. But I just don't, and I like Andres Pete. I don't love what they came out of.
This is also the same team that traded back in the first round for Ingram, and he was pretty terrible until last year. So they don't have a fantastic track record in the first round, do they? They had the safety a few years ago,
Brandon Cooks,
from Texas. Not great.
Well, Kenny Vaccaro was really good as a rookie, and then he struggled last year. Brandon Cooks was good until he got hurt last year. So I'm okay with those two picks, but I mean, of course, this group remains to be seen. DJ Humphreys to the Cardinals. I like that pick. I thought everybody in the world had him mocked to the Panthers. It makes sense for the Cardinals to go offensive tackle there. They now have Jared Veld here and Humphreys to protect Carson Palmer and to block in the run game. They got a ton of just two great athletes, strong athletes on that offensive line. And Breshad Perriman to the Ravens. You talk about Ozzie Newsome just steals. I mean, that's all he does.
I love it. He's a beast, but he has to be able to catch the ball more consistently. That's the only
That's true. But
he's running past everybody, whether he catches it or not. That's the bottom line.
That's right. And he's got Joe Flacco throwing it to him.
I totally forgot about that. That team is going to ratchet up the bombs about 95%, which means they're going to throw more bombs 47-fold now more than any other team, because that's all they did anyway.
Right. They're going to run, and then throw bombs. And then, you know, look, you couldn't go into the season with it was like Marlon Brown, Steve Smith, and Michael Campanaro in your as your wide receiver depth chart. You needed a guy like Perriman. Perriman, I would say, if I'm looking at this list and I'm picking, I mean, I think he's a viable candidate to be offensive rookie of the year. I would maybe Todd Gurley.
Gurley's an easy one. Melvin Gordon, perhaps not offense.
Yeah, Melvin Gordon with the Chargers. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah, but I mean, like Perriman, because he could end up being the number one target in that offense easily. Whereas, you know, you're talking about Kevin White is taking the backseat to Alshon Jeffrey, Amari Cooper playing on the Raiders.
Steve Smith isn't going to just roll over.
No, but I mean, he's clearly aged at this point. I mean, I think. What about the Colts taking Philip Dorsett?
I'll say it again, man. I'm not sold on Ryan Grigson. If he had the number two pick instead of the number one pick in 2012, he would have been fired already. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, if he had RG3, he'd be in a lot of trouble.
Why are they not drafting defense? Who's going to play safety for that team? They didn't need to take Landon Collins there, but I mean, they need a lot of help.
They can't stop the run. I like Philip Dorsett. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, he's Dree fast. Archer 2.0. How'd that work out?
Well, you've got T.Y. Hilton. So why do you need Philip Dorsett? Right. I mean, are you just like you? I mean,
put
like
him on their shoulders, and then you have Perryman.
I mean, so now you have Dwayne Allen, Kobe Fleener, Philip Dorsett, T.Y. Hilton, Andre Johnson, Frank Gore. I mean, that's
Dante Moncrief.
Moncrief, yeah. I mean, this is a ton of touches for. I mean, Andrew Luck threw the ball a ton last year, but geez.
I don't know who tweeted this, but they said that Andrew Luck's going to throw for 14,000 yards next year and take 800 sacks.
That's exactly right. Yeah. I mean, like, you got to get him some protection and you got to get somebody on the defense. So I just in a vacuum, I like the Dorsett pick.
And where's Chuck Pagano? He's a defensive guy.
Yeah.
What's he doing?
But he's also a Miami guy. So now they signed Frank Gore in the offseason, Andre Johnson, and now they drafted Philip Dorsett.
All right. Well, we'll see. I mean, look, they can win that division fine. But I mean, after that, you know,
they'll win the division. They'll easily win the division.
That's what I'm saying. If you're fine with just going one and done in the playoffs, then you're in perfect position.
You can't stop the New England Patriots or Jonas Gray or LeGarrette Blount.
Jonas Gray.
I mean, Jonas Gray's running for 200 yards. Philip Dorsett ain't stopping him.
Oh, right. Is that who he scored 4 touchdowns on?
Yeah, the Colts. He thrashed him. And then playoffs,
that's when Gronk threw threw Sergio Brown out of the stadium.
Put Sergio Brown on his ass. Yeah, I mean, they can't stop anybody. Very quickly, a couple more picks. But not very quickly. I guess people don't. I'm in a hurry.
Got tea time, man.
That's right. Tea time in 6 hours. Devontae Parker to the Dolphins. I like that pick. They stood pat. They landed a wide receiver that works well for them. They got lucky that the Vikings went with Trey Waynes and the Browns went with Danny Shelton. So I think that works. They needed to get a wide receiver to help Ryan Tannehill. Smart move there. I like the Chargers getting Melvin Gordon. I don't understand why you give up 2 5th-round picks. Is it 2 or a 4th and a 5th to jump 2 spots over the Texans so you can grab Melvin Gordon?
Houston was going to take Melvin Gordon. Was there any discussion about that?
The Texans said, somebody asked him, they're like, no, we had no interest in Melvin Gordon.
By the way, quickly, did you hear Arian Foster's his draft day story? I just heard it briefly yesterday.
How, like, somebody told him he was going to the Seahawks. He's like, oh, man.
In the 7th round, the Seahawks called him and said, do you want us to draft you? He goes, I'm okay with that. They didn't draft him.
Yeah.
And so he said, I wouldn't have drafted me either.
Yeah,
because he thought he was going higher, and he was frustrated.
Yeah, I mean that's okay. And then he went undrafted, and he put a chip on his shoulder. He's a weird dude. Yeah, I mean I would be begging the Seahawks to draft me.
Yeah,
well. but at that point, if you call that kid, like, that kid's off your board for life. If you call him and he says,
Yeah, I mean I completely understand if you think you're going to be a second or third round pick, and then 7th round rolls around, and you feel like it's just, you know, a pity draft at that point.
Yeah, and I guess that at that point, we're not talking about like the Super Bowl champion Seahawks. So
yeah, exactly. Steve Zorn's throwing you passes.
Eric Armstead to the 49ers and Kevin Johnson to the Texans.
Do you know who Kevin Johnson's best friend is?
Michael Campanero.
From Wake Forest.
Yeah. Kevin Johnson
looks like Scottie Pippen, by the way.
Just the third Wake Forest player to ever be taken in the first round of the NFL draft, along with Calvin Pace and...
Calvin Pace went to Wake?
That's right. And the third?
Rusty LaRue.
Aaron Curry.
Remember Rusty LaRue?
Of course I remember Rusty LaRue. I live in ACC country. We were in the, because Scott Fitzgerald, who has made several cameos on this podcast the last 2 days, was weight in grad. Weight grad. But Mike Friedman, one of the producers, goes, when's the last time a weight grad got drafted? I just turned to, like I said, 2009. It was 5 years ago, Michael.
Shut up.
Just keep moving. He's like, oh, look, you. Yeah, I was like, hey, look, man, you asked a question, bro. I don't know what to tell you. I like the Marcus Peters pick for the Chiefs as well.
God,
Kevin
love
Johnson.
It. And then, you know what? Oh, God, I wish I knew who said it. Maybe it was the ESPN Chiefs reporter, but he said in recent days that watch out for Andy Reid because he visited Marcus Peters. He likes him a lot. And who did we think they were taking? Offensive lineman or something because they lost a couple guys?
Yeah, something like that. But, yeah, I think it might have
Peters.
Been.
Love that pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. I like that pick. You're adding a really good, really talented cornerback, and you're getting him at
bargain basement prices.
Good Lord, I can't even find the Chiefs now. At 18, yeah, that's a good price. It's a very good pick. I like it. Cedric Ogbui to the Bengals. I think this is a luxury pick for a team with a deep roster that is eventually going to have to replace their tackles. Andre Smith is in the last year of his contract. Andrew Whitworth is like 34 and in the last year of his contract. And so suddenly you have a guy who might be a top 10 pick if he's healthy. It's pretty good value there.
Yeah, Bengals fans are not happy about it, and I get that on some
level.
They
want an impact player, but whatever.
Yeah, our buddy Paul Daner tweeted out that he's a beat reporter at Cincinnati Inquirer, tweeted out that this is sort of like when the Bengals took Levi Jones in the first round years ago. People were moaning about that, and he turned out to be quite a pretty good player, so just settle down.
There you go. Any other thoughts you have from the 2015 first round?
Very next pick, Steelers took Bud Dupree, who we talked about briefly. Randy Gregory was there. Was Shane Ray there? Yeah, Shane Ray was still there.
Yeah, Shane Ray was there. Byron Jones came up the next pick.
Yeah, so I'm fine with Dupree. I think it works out pretty well for the Steelers in that he doesn't have to start. He'll be behind James Harrison and Arthur Moat, so they can use him in the same way, hopefully, that they're going to use Vic Beasley in Atlanta. And just kind of let him get his feet wet. They got to go get the Steelers have to get a cornerback here in the second round. So
now have three young linebackers. Unless you want to call Dupree's a defensive end, I guess. But they have three.
No, he'll be a linebacker.
Yeah, but they have three first round picks invested in linebackers and
last 3 years. And Shazier was hurt a lot last year. So you know if he goes off, and I know you liked him a lot in the preseason. So yep. If he plays well, that would be swell.
And I one of the losers in my winners and losers piece of the Steelers secondary, which is not to say that the Steelers are losers, but the Steelers secondary remains very much a work in progress.
Oh, God, it's a hot mess. Well, they loved Marcus Peters, and then those guys went, you know, the cornerbacks didn't go particularly early, and then they sort of went in bunches. Trey Wiggins went 11, like everyone pretty much thought. But then Peters went sort of early at 18, and then Kevin Johnson went at 16 to Houston. And
Kevin Johnson and Marcus Peters are both on the board at 22, do you think they still take Dupree?
No. They thought they were – Kevin Colbert admitted on Thursday they thought about trading up for Dupree once he started to slip. So I don't know. He may have been – yeah.
He might have been – I mean, well, that's – look, again, I mean, look, Kevin Colbert's had a lot of success in this league. He's made a bunch of really good picks, and if you got a chance to get Bud Dupree and he's the top player on your board, take him there.
Yeah, I guess.
You
know, there are questions about Kevin Johnson being only 188 pounds. Whatever, I don't know. Kyle Fuller was little. He had a pretty good season last year. Of course, he got hurt. No,
if you can get the best player on your board, you take the best player on your board. I'm always of that opinion.
All right.
Well, that's it for round one recap. A little quickie here. We'll be back. We'll figure it out. We'll recap round two and break down round three.
Probably Sunday night for Monday morning, something like that.
Yeah, or maybe we'll come back and do it again.
Maybe. See how the golf game goes.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, exactly. If I play well, we'll do it. Dorial Beckham Green, Randy Gregory, some big names to watch.
Jalen Collins.
Jalen Collins, Landon Collins, Mario Edwards. There's still some pretty big names out there on this board. I think we'll see a run on running backs, Duke Johnson, Amir Abdullah, Tevin Coleman. So a lot of action to watch in the second round. Follow us on the Draft Tracker. And as always, subscribe to iTunes. Thanks for listening to the Eye on Football podcast.